This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders!
Pressure, and he just dives in! Don't hear! Don't hear! Oh!
J.C. Sherbert, Phil Mullinax, and Jamie Bradford.
All right, greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show, live from the Signorama Studios, the preferred sign partner of your South Carolina Gamecocks, Signorama.com, Gamecock-owned and Gamecock operated, served by Chicken Cock Bourbon and built by the Barn Dough Co. JC, Mad Dog Mullinax, and myself, JB, here until 2 o'clock today. We'll be joined by Mike Morgan at noon, John Whittle in 15 minutes. Carolina salvages in Tuscaloosa this weekend. The ladies, they're back in a familiar spot. The Final Four, we'll talk about that, and the villains of college basketball, the men and the women. There are some on both sides. We'll compare and contrast. Anxious to get Mike into this conversation as well. Maybe some news on the portal front from the men's side. We'll try to touch on that in just a little bit as well. Get into some Gamecock football a little bit later on. And, of course, the men's Final Four is set. And NC State is quite the storyline. How many of you are pulling for the Wolfpack now that they have gone through both the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils to get to the ultimate destination, Phoenix? Where this year's Final Four is. That's where it was in 2017 when South Carolina marched all the way there as well. Hope you had a blessed and wonderful and amazing Easter weekend with all of your families. I know I was responding to some texts this morning because I never texted anybody back on Saturday and Sunday because I didn't want to. I needed a break, man. I was just tired of responding to people. And so if I hurt your feelings, I apologize. It's nothing personal, but I was taking personal time. And but glad to be back with all of you today as the spring weather is here. It is flat out beautiful outside in our neck of the woods, but not so much up there where Schubert lives just outside of Chicago, Illinois. Good morning, boys.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, had a good Easter this weekend. I did the same thing, basically kind of turned everything off and shut down unapologetically.
Yeah.
Just, you know. It was Easter weekend, decided to take a weekend just to spend with the fam. So I get it totally, JB.
Yeah. Yeah. I just that's what I needed right there. So we did. Yeah. And thanks to Chicken Cock for helping out that cause on Thursday and Friday as well. Hey, JC. Uh-oh. Volume's off.
I can't hear you. Is your mic on?
He can hear us. I know that, but but his mic is not on. So we will work on that. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
It is 11:06. It is April Fool's Day. Are you an April Fool's guy, Phil? Do you do the April Fool's jokes or no?
Nah, not really. Not a big April Fool's guy. I got my guard up. Yeah, and never one to, you know, not a big jokester, prankster. I mean, I am, but I mean, today it's just too obvious.
Yeah. Well, you can get people, but like I've got a dry sense of humor with a lot of stuff, so I can get folks from time to time. I was on with Bill and Preston on 107.5 this morning, and they were having a back and forth about whether it's okay. We got you. There you go.
All right. Whether good, it's good, good, there you go.
Like, is it okay to go beyond the vocal joke? You know, like if we open the mic today and said, just want to let everybody know this is going to be our last week inside the Gamecocks is shutting down. Like, okay, that's a joke. How many people are going to fall for that? Certainly there's going to be some that say, yeah, it's April Fool's, not buying it. Some are going to freak out. But if I, you know, went as far as to put, I don't know, glue on your toilet seat. Is that an April Fool's joke or is that just mean?
I don't think that's an April Fool's joke. You know, I feel like there's some sort of a setup and delivery that's associated to with April Fool's jokes, not just random, you know, pranks and things like that.
Okay. All right.
My that's question would be, is it funny? That would be my thing.
Yeah, you got to be able to laugh.
I mean, like, okay, so the AP used to release April Fools, right? Well, today they were like, you know, oh, we're not going to do that, but you know, we're going to talk about, you know, how half of America believes in conspiracy theories. And I'm like, you guys literally print bullshit every day, and I'm like, I just, you know, even the AP, and I'm like, that's not funny. All that does is stir people up. You know, if you want to say, and you know, then there's stuff you can do that's ludicrous, that's an obvious joke. Mm-hmm. Somebody today, I don't know whether it's the mood I'm in. I mean, I'm in a good mood, don't get me wrong, but like said, Nick Saban's coming back. And I don't know which outlet did that specifically, but it's just like, yeah, you know, do better. Okay. You know,
I think that's pretty good.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But I think is it funny? Is it, you know, can you get by with it? Is it not mean? Is it harmless? Those are the questions. But man, it's been a while since I've done April Fools. I mean, and I'm good at it. I don't do it either.
Yeah.
I'm good at it. I mean, I've got people coming, but I don't know why. It's just like, you know, these days, maybe it's because we always have work going on this time, you know, baseball, you have Easter, stuff like that. You know, just like I did the same thing you guys did this weekend. We went out Friday and watched Gamecocks ladies play and watched some men's basketball, and then just kind of stayed around the house the last Sunday and Saturday and Sunday and chilled. Yep. The kids had to go someplace, but we were cool. So it was good. But yeah, I quit. I don't know. April Fool's to me, just, I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind next year and I'll have an elaborate prank. But you know, I think sometimes, especially into the world we live in today, where there is a lot of misdirection and misinformation, you almost live freaking April Fools every single day if you consume any type of media. I mean, you almost live it every day. Like, what kind of clown show are we going to read about today? You know, it's going to be half true and spun and all that good stuff. So I don't know, man. I think back when it was just the facts, maybe April Fool's was a refuge from the facts, but now I think it just probably pisses people off.
Well, I think back when the world had a sense of humor, like you could do all kinds of, you know what I mean? Like you could have all kinds of April Fool's jokes now. Like if I told one today, and we have a pretty large audience at the end of the day, there's tens of thousands of you that actually are going to watch or hear this at some point in time. So if I told some joke, I'll bet you somebody is not going to like it. And then they're not going to like me because I told an April Fool's joke. Like the guy, Phil. So Phil, check this out. So the other day, I rarely post stuff ever on the Big Spur. I never post anything except for to promote the show or to tell everybody Merry Christmas or something like that. Or, you know, somebody asked a question that's something maybe a little bit off topic, but I don't get into all of, you know what I mean? You know, I don't like to do all that stuff. So there was a question the other day. Somebody's coming to Charleston asking for food recommendations or, you know, places to go eat. So I responded and I said, well, you know, obviously since they don't come here often, I would suggest going down to Fleet Landing. It's my favorite place to go, like downtown. Like if you're coming to Charleston and you're wanting to go downtown, let me give you a good spot to go downtown that you're going to get the whole experience, right? You know, the Charleston flavor, the you get the harbor and you get good food and you get the atmosphere and the ambiance and the whole nine yards. So I said, Fleet Landing, sit out on the harbor. They have the best calamari in town. Now, is there anything wrong with that I said right there?
Not that it seems, but I'm that, sure doesn't somebody sound, will.
Doesn't sound bad, right?
No.
Okay. No. So some jackleg.
Fleet Landing, baby.
That's some right. Jackleg who hates his life or hates me or both. I don't know.
It could be.
Decides to respond and call me names and basically say, what the F am I? Because who judges a restaurant on scenery and apps? Give me some meals, man. I'm like, so I screenshot it. I sent it to JC. I said, who is this? Like, who is this? Like, who takes the time to attack somebody who's being kind, trying to make a recommendation like that? You know what I mean? Like, and if that's you, if I'm looking
that
at
guy
you,
on Big Spur.
Yeah. Like,
I've deleted if that's so many you, of his posts.
That's pathetic, dude. Like, you're pathetic. Why would you do that? Like, what's the point? What's the point of attacking me when I'm trying to be helpful?
Is like, I have no idea who he is, but he's miserable. I mean, like, every post he – I mean, I've deleted probably more of his posts than – because he just attacks people. He's like that crazy old guy that sits at the corner of the bar, and you're kind of new to the bar, so you maybe go talk to him, see what he's all about, and – everybody's like, don't talk to him. He's going to take your head off. I mean, that guy's just a miserable human being. Or his life is just so rosy that he gets online and pretends like he's this other character, like this evil villain. Yeah. Probably a comic book guy. You know, I am the great HXC. Hi, mean to everybody.
It's like, I know what you want me to do. Chris, like, he wants me to respond, you know? I'm like, I'm not responding to that. I'm not going to take the time to respond to this guy who just hates everybody.
I've responded to him before and just, like, made him feel like he was smaller than a microscopic organism, right? Like, I can get after people when I want to, as we all know. I've done it before. No response from him.
No,
yeah. I mean, maybe that's probably what he, not. Maybe he's sitting there laughing his butt off, like, I got him to respond. Ah. Maybe he's a big jokester. Maybe he's celebrating April Fool's Day today. I mean, it's like his favorite holiday, right?
Right.
By the way, so Chris did the Nick Saban thing. All right. I wasn't, for the record, guys, because I know you guys like to go chat and chatter and crap like that. I wasn't coming criticizing him at all. I just said, well, you know, I don't know. It didn't strike me like it may have some people, but a couple of my friends, it got them. So it worked. So I wasn't criticizing him at all. I want to be clear about that. So anyway, cause I know how people, somebody's talking crap about you. The people love y'all love to stir stuff. Some of you, a very small portion of you love to stir stuff up. And that's, don't do that to me right now. But, it's like that guy's so miserable, Jamie. I mean, you could tell him, give me a meal. Well, I mean,
couldn't believe it.
Look, I'm
sitting here
like
holding my daughters.
Nice,
I'm reading this. I'm like, how do I?
What is wrong with this guy's problem?
I mean, I'm like, he's a psycho.
What is wrong with
people's online? Most people's online persona, though, is just like terrible.
Well, I mean, not
the message right now.
You know, like my name's attached to everything, my picture's on it. You know, like. You know, I mean, I don't.
It's like, it's crazy. It's like,
Happy Easter, man.
You know, right now, until football
hope your mommy
wins
hits some Easter eggs for you.
Yeah, right.
Or until football, if football were getting recruits right now, there wouldn't be the negativity. And I found it's really the first time this has happened since I've had the Big Spur. Any mention of football just gets obliterated right now.
Well,
it's like you can't really be miserable. I mean, now people gripe after every baseball loss, of course. You can't really be miserable about that sport right now, though. You can't really be miserable about men's basketball and certainly not women's basketball or anything else. So it's just all guns a-blazing toward the football program. Never mind they've recruited players. Never mind there's new players this year. Never mind it's a whole new team. It's miserable. It's unacceptable. Bottom tier program. I mean, it's awful. And I think the season had a lot to do with that. And I also think that the loss to Clemson, especially, and then I think, you know, this has not been one of those recruiting years where South Carolina's gotten off to a fast start. It doesn't mean it's not going to be good. It just means like last year you had Wendell Gregory, Michael Smith, you had Cam Pringle jumping in real early, and this year you just don't have that. So that's why it's the Fellowship of the Miserable right now. That's what we call it on the Big Spur. But hey, look, I've had that Joker for 17 years. It's a big old family style message board. Everybody, people do care about each other personally on that.
So not that guy.
It'll survive, but that guy. That guy needs.
He doesn't fit in. He's not part of the family.
Great misery.
If somebody has a,
but hey man, keep paying your $9.99. We really appreciate it. Yeah. Right?
Yes. Somebody like has a death subscribe. In the family. Somebody has a prayer request, somebody's dog dies, that guy's never in there with sympathy at all. Yeah. It's always like every he'll post five times a month and it's all like, you're an idiot and blah, blah, blah. You're and I'm like, geez. Okay. But like I said, in real life, he's probably the most jovial, kind. People probably call him Paul. He's probably like 60, beloved grandfather. You know, he just has this dark side. And instead of going into the dark web and chat rooms that'll get you thrown in jail, he comes on the Big Spur and just blasts people.
Well, you know what? Good for him. We won't do that here. It's 11:18. John Whittle won't either. He's up next. Before we get to break, hello to some of you today in the Nana Sports chat box. It's always nice to see folks that we don't get to see. One Ty Pree, don't know your name, but he said, good morning, guys. It's spring break, and he's excited to listen live this week. So really appreciate you being in. Hope all of you had blessed and very special Easter. We got plenty of baseball to get to. Harrison and some of you others who are excited. Oscar Attaway Jr. is back and in there today, the father of Oscar Attaway, who is one of the running backs now at South Carolina. So excited to have the parents of our players here. As well. But it is time for a timeout. When we return, John Whittle will join us right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And Chicken Cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare.
But at the Barn Dough Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Rama Columbia, and go Gamecocks!
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we welcome you to Founders Park. It's time for baseball, folks. Drive, left field, way back, and gone. Hits the ball into the air the opposite way. Has he done it twice? Yes, he has.
Right, turn now deep to left. Taylor to the wall. It's gone. Back-to-back home runs for South Carolina.
There's a high drive. That ball is back. That ball is way out of here.
What else can this young man do, Derek? My goodness, that ball was killed.
Gamecock baseball. You are now listening to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Be loud. No Gamecocks.
Presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com.
Yeah, Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com presents our coverage all year long of Gamecock baseball here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Welcome back. Make sure you've downloaded the free Chief Sports app. That's where you can take us anywhere in the world. And JC and Morgan and Chin Music and the Late Night Gamecock Show and Sports Talk and all of our other properties and affiliates. And that list will be growing here pretty soon. The Chief Sports app is a free download on any mobile device. John's got it. See, it's in his title there, habitual Chief app user. He's an elite sports writer, and he works for the Big Spur, and we have him every Monday, and we're always glad to. Hope you had a happy Easter, because you got back from, I'm sure you got back from T-Town late Saturday night, so you got a Sunday off, John? You didn't have to do anything on Sunday? You got to sit around?
Something like that. A more quiet Sunday than usual. Helped out with a little bit of coverage from up in Albany. Had some stringers up there who I had to coordinate and copy edit and all that good stuff with. But other than that, pretty low key day. So it was kind of nice.
Well, that's what Easter, you know, that's what it should be. So hope you get. Did you get a good meal? What'd you do? Did you go to Mike Sisko's honey baked ham and, you know, get you a good ham, maybe some sides, or did you just eat a sandwich or something? What'd you do?
No, saw the family, whole family got together. So mom still does the cooking, and she did have a honey baked ham. I don't know if it was a Mike Sisko honey baked ham, but it was a honey baked ham for sure. And so I had a nice day with the family before things got a little busier later in the day.
Well, if it was from Mike's store, I'm sure it was burnt to a crisp and probably labeled ham, but actually it was a turkey. No, I'm just kidding. Mike runs an excellent honey baked ham up in Somerville. John, let's begin with hoops. We'll get to baseball here in just a second. But I mean, look, man, the story right now at South Carolina is the fact that the ladies are in their fourth straight, sixth overall Final Four. And let's take this a little bit differently aside from the game and the ins and outs of the X's and O's and all those type things, guys, because I want to tee this up now. This is going to carry us till 2 o'clock today when the golden tones of Mike Morgan joins us as well. How about the villains? Because JC says this a lot. Mike has said this a lot. Phil and I have mentioned this as well. When you look at the men's Final Four, and then you look at the women's Final Four, although the ladies are not, it's not set yet, unless you and I will play tonight, and then you got UConn and Southern Cal coming up. What is better for women's basketball? Iowa in that story, or LSU in that story? It's a very vocal, mouthy one, but it's getting a lot of play and a lot of pub. I think the majority of us would probably rather see Iowa in the Final Four. But what's better for the sport?
What would be best for the sport is if they were playing in the Final Four and not tonight.
I know.
Yeah.
They screwed that up, didn't they?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know which is better, to be honest with you. I mean, both of them certainly bring their own little flair. I would say best for the sport. I mean, I would probably say Iowa, just because, I mean, Angel Reese doesn't have a camera person following her around for every moment of her Final Four. Like, Caitlin Clark is the biggest star. And
actually, she does.
I mean, you want your – well, yeah, she does act like she does. But I think you want your biggest star in the game and in the Final Four, and that's probably Caitlin Clark, even though Angel Reese is not that far behind. And then you have the Kim Mulkey situation, too, that folks are talking about. But, you know, the sports purist in me would rather have the sport – talked about more than the off the court stuff. So I would probably rather see Iowa to have the best player there and to not have the distraction. And then once their season's over, we might get a little bit more. We might get a little bit more on that Mulkey story. So I would probably say Iowa.
All right. So that's interesting. What do y'all think about that? Because it felt to me like the Kent Babb story, there was really nothing to it. And it felt like they built this up to draw attention to the Washington. So everybody go read it. Everybody go subscribe and do all that stuff. Get a bunch of buzz around it. But there was nothing to the story. I mean, was there anything in there that.
Well, who is they built it up? I mean, I mean, it started with a Pat 40 tweet who doesn't write for the Washington Post that I'm aware of. And then right. Kim Mulkey. I mean, if Kim Mulkey hadn't said anything about it, I wouldn't have gone to read it.
Okay. Good point. Yeah.
But I'll also say, too, that, like, maybe, and I don't know, maybe Kim Mulkey's threats had them edit that column some and take some things out that they weren't 100% sure passed the test, so to speak. And maybe that's why it seemed like kind of a whole lot of nothing. So I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, did y'all read the column, right?
I read every word of it.
Yeah, I didn't find it to be nearly as, you know.
I mean, I'm not so sure what was in there.
You know,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, anything that Kim Mulkey even hinted at in the two rants that she.
I mean, what you mentioned Pat 40. Pat 40 tweeted this big thing out. Did he blow some big deal out of the water that shouldn't have been? I'm not blaming him.
No, he's a partisan hater of. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, you hear me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a partisan hater of people like Kim Mulkey. He's proved that during the pandemic. Next. That's it. Pat Forty has no credibility when it comes to stuff like that. As far as the article itself, I didn't think it was a bad – I didn't think – I've seen some hatchet jobs now. I haven't seen it. What I do wish journalists in general would stop doing is sit there and, you know, when somebody says, well, she treated me bad because I'm a gay player, and then you have other people that say, well – you know, I've never seen her treat gay players bad. And it's he said, she said, is that news or is that tabloid? To me, it's tabloid because it's he said, she said. There's no proof that you know, there's no like string of gay players that hate playing for Kim Mulkey. All right. And when it's like that, I don't know that it's news. Now, that said, was it a balanced piece? Yeah. I thought, you know, I think she probably what she was most mad about is the stuff about her dad, because she obviously still holds a grudge. Mm-hmm. And she hadn't talked to him in 37 years, and he goes to all her games. So that may be the most pissed off. That's probably why she's mad. Well, I'm sorry. That's not a hatchet job. That's a human interest story. And I don't Kent did a good job with it, I thought. And you guys know I would eviscerate Kent if I thought he did a bad job. I didn't think there's anything wrong with the piece, hardly at all, other than what most journalists do, which is, oh, she said this, but then she said that, and so this may be the case, it may not. I think if you're gonna say something bad about somebody, you know, oh, they don't like, they're homophobic or whatever, you need to have a consensus and not just leave it up to the reader to decide. But that's just my personal opinion. But anyway, didn't mean to interrupt there. Sorry. I know I'm having an internet issue.
I thought that was great. I mean, I'm not so sure what that column's for. I didn't really get anything out of it, to be honest with you. It was more of a biography.
I mean, at the end of the day, it read to me just like kind of a profile piece on a complicated lady who's one of the premier names in women's college basketball. I don't know that there had to necessarily be some kind of breaking news story to write a profile piece like that. You know, I think it was set up to be a little bit more or a lot more damning to her reputation by her words and kind of the implications from Pat Forty and whoever else. But, you know, I thought it was interesting. Like I read every word of it and came away like, okay, like all of that makes a whole lot of sense as to, you know, why she is the way she is. And, you know, I thought it was interesting more than anything else. And that's what, that's what a profile piece should be. So, you know, that's just my thought on it. I mean, I didn't come away feeling any type of way other than, you know, that's not typically a person I like to have in my life is somebody who's a close friend or family member or confidant that I'm not seeking out Kim Mulkey to be friends with after reading that piece, but it certainly seems to fit her personality very well.
I think that's very well said. I felt like I was personally a little bit misled as right. to what this was supposed to be about. And then I read it and I was like, cool. I understand who Kim Mulkey is and where she came from. And I understand she's a tough coach and great. I got to go hide Easter eggs for my kids. So this is awesome. Now, glad I spent 10 minutes to read it, but I got to go. And, yeah. And that's
now I will say that the other one she was griping about, the column in the LA Times, was way over the top. I mean, bad. It's insulting, sexist. Like she said, she like that would have been something that would have made my blood boil over Kent's piece, because it was just uncalled for. It was just some West Coast jerk off taking a shot at her team. I mean, it just I'm sorry. Did you poop in your hand this morning and sniff it and smelled like roses? Like, yo, like, okay, California man. All right. Oh, I know you're all refined and all. I hope you love paying $17,000 for a plot of land for taxes per year that's going to get swallowed in an earth hole one day, bro. Bro. But, I mean, calling him the debutante thing, was it demonic debutante, something like that? I mean, that's
– the dirty debutante.
That was bad. Dirty debutante. And I'm like, you know, you don't know what the hell a – you probably don't even know what a debutante is. So – That to me smacked of California arrogance. I don't like that, but it was sad. It was that one would have ticked me off more so than the Washington Post piece. I mean, both of those publications, in my opinion, are garbage, but, to me, the LA Times was much, much worse.
And that's why you should all read thebigspur.com. All right. So is there better scenario? We got a hit piece
coming out on Brad Burnell this week.
is there a better scenario in all of your minds for the Gamecocks in the Final Four? There's still two games that have to be played tonight. Is there a better scenario for them to win this whole ordeal based on the outcomes of these ball games?
For me, no. I just kind of feel the way I feel about it is that South Carolina is the best team, and it's going to take South Carolina not playing well against somebody to not win the title this year. And, that could happen because they haven't played perfect basketball. A couple of these last handful of games, so they can be beaten, but when they're playing their best ball, I don't know that they can be beaten by anybody left, but all of the teams are good enough now to where if South Carolina plays like they have late in games these last couple, or like they played against Tennessee in the SEC tournament, like they can get plucked by any of them. But I'm just of the opinion that South Carolina is too good to where if they play in A or A plus game that they should be fine.
I agree with that. I do think it's hard to beat somebody three times, and if they have to face LSU again, that's a difficult task. They'll be up for it. But they've got – look, it's pretty simple, and we'll move on here. They have to do exactly the deal that the man had. Just hit shots. You're capable. When you're open, hit shots. Had they had two or three of those wide-open threes fall yesterday, that game's never in doubt. I mean, it's over. And they just missed shots. So they're going to have to hit shots because all these teams that are left can certainly do that. Looking forward to –
And they don't give up many easy ones, but they gave up a couple of easy buckets yesterday late too. Yeah. I mean that drive by down along the baseline past Pal to cut the deficit to four. I mean you can't allow that kind of stuff either. I mean you make some shots, it doesn't really matter. But they've had a couple of defensive breakdowns here lately too, especially out around the 3-point line. So, but I think they'll be pretty locked in for these final four games.
Man. John Whittle, it's 11:38 here, April Fool's Day. You have any good April Fool's jokes, John, or you pass on that like we do?
No, I'm old now. Yeah. I mean, if this were 15 years ago, then probably. But it's at some point you just got you're the one who quits being the one who's doing the tricking, and now you're at the age where you're the one who gets tricked and I've hit that age, so I'll let you know if somebody gets me on something today.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us in the loop on that. That we'd certainly appreciate it. As far as baseball goes, John, Gamecocks salvage game three. they did their best to make it really a frustrating week for all involved with this program, but they held on. A very, very heady baseball play to end it, though, by Talmadge Lecroy and Will Tippett following the runner around third and making that tag there to end the ball game. The new D1 rankings are out. Carolina did slip from 18 to 22. There is some good news. Texas A&M comes to town this week. They moved up to number three. The last time number three came to town, they walked out with their tails between their legs, and that was Vandy less than 2 weeks ago. Also on the RPI side of things, and as we all well know, this matters. Carolina is eighth in the nation in the RPI category, one spot behind, and we'll get to them in a little bit, the roaring Kentucky Wildcats right now who are in first place in the SEC East. But, John, let's start with the pitching. This staff is coming into last week, they were third in the nation in ERA. Not just in the SEC, but in the nation, but also in the SEC. That's how good it is in the league. And they ain't there anymore. It was a rough week on the mound, top to bottom, with the exception of Friday night, Eli Jones, and then you had some really good long relief performances from Matthew Becker and Ty Good this weekend. Outside of that, it wasn't very good.
Yeah, and Becker's final line certainly doesn't look good. He was great for four innings and then, you know, hit a little bit of a wall there. I mean, he ended up giving up five earned runs were charged to him. String of lefties in the order there that last inning he was pitching, and they wanted to try to have him navigate those and just couldn't do it. Caught some barrels, and Parker Marlott came in and gave up a few runs. But we went into this knowing that Alabama is one of the top hitting teams in the country. In the country, and certainly in the league, and one of the tops in the country. They do a lot well there, and to be honest, like South Carolina overall did a pretty decent job against those guys over the course of the weekend. You know, I know the numbers don't look great, but they kept Alabama down from what they usually do. So you know, I thought. There were certainly some lapses there on the mound, and some guys didn't pitch as well. You know, Garrett Gainey had a really a tough couple of days. I mean, he got hit a little bit on Thursday night, and then got hit a little bit on Saturday, it just felt like he was giving Alabama too much to hit, and those guys can hit, and they took advantage of some of those opportunities to get the barrel to it, but. You know, they ended up getting just enough outs that one game. But, you know, Thursday night, you feel like you let Thursday night this past week and Friday against Ole Miss kind of slip away from you. And especially this past Thursday when, you know, South Carolina had the lead after six innings. They were 19-0 this year having the lead after six innings. And now 19-1. So, you know, well, I guess 20-1. They had the lead after six the other day, but you know, that was a big disappointment there for that one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's an inconsistent baseball team, very talented, but they've just been very inconsistent as well. Now, with that said, we know they're capable of beating anybody. They are really good at home. It's going to be a beautiful weather weekend in Columbia for anybody that hadn't paid attention. So I hope that there's 82-42 all 3 days out there. This team is playing for a ton. That 5-4 record in the league, those five wins are quality wins, man. You got two road victories and you got three over one of the top three teams in the country. And this league is just going to continue to beat itself up. I think somebody pointed out earlier in the chat box, Kentucky hasn't run into the dudes yet of the SEC, but they're all kind of dudes at this point in time. On the offensive side, John, you know, had some of the same issues that hurt them a couple of weeks ago and beyond, where, you know, leaving runners on base. What were they at one point in time through the first two games, like 1-for-23 or something like that with runners on?
24-25, and wow. Then – you know, Nolan got the hit and the runner had the hold, and then Cole Messina got the hit that brought the runners in, and in that seventh inning, I guess, on Saturday maybe, or on Saturday, and you know, a few you know followed after him, and certainly ended up needing every run that they could have gotten. But it's an issue. You know, South Carolina's got some guys who are starting to play a little bit better offensively, but they've got a couple of guys who are starting to struggle a little bit offensively. You know, Dylan Brewer and Thomas LaCroix were, you know, two of the hottest hitters in the SEC for a while, and both of those guys have cooled off a little bit as Parker Nolan has heated up and as Kennedy Jones has heated up and as Blake Jackson has gotten back in there and heated up. So, part of the sport is that's just kind of baseball, but you know, they've certainly got to do a little bit better in some of the scenarios than what they've done. And, you know, the thing about this team is I said it a couple of weeks ago and we'll say it again now, like you haven't played your way out of anything. I mean, you're still right in the thick of it for everything. You've been on the road twice. You've played two top 15 teams. You're 5-4. That's not bad. I mean, LSU's sitting there 2-7. Auburn was in the top 25. They're 1-8. Kentucky might be 8-1, But, you know, and I think you mentioned that you wanted to talk about Kentucky at some point, but they've played about as easy of a schedule as you can in the SEC up to this point. And the back half is just murderer's row back there. So it's I usually wait until after the fourth week of SEC play before I start looking at standings and stats too much, because at that point, everybody's played two road and two home. You've got a little bit more of a sample size. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly something there, in both of those things, both from a statistical and standing standpoint.
Yeah, I'm with you. Kentucky at 8-1, 24-4 overall, leading the East, and ahead of Vanderbilt in Florida. I on an off note, before we get to the Wildcats, is there anybody that is more puzzling than the Gators?
Weren't two of their wins over the weekend walk-offs on Mississippi State? I think Thursday night was comeback, and then or Friday night, game one was a comeback victory and a walk-off, and then Caglione, I think, hit a walk-off yesterday, if I'm right on that as well. So, I mean, but they keep losing midweek games. I don't know what's going on with them. They've got one heck of a weird resume, and folks want to know why they're still one of the top teams in the country. Is because they keep winning big series, even though they keep losing, you know, midweek stuff. So
right, yeah.
We'll figure it out as the season goes on.
Well, they're uberly talented. Like, they're going to be there at the end of this thing. You know, when South Carolina goes to Florida, the common eye who has not kept up with all of this, like you or me or JC or Phil or whatever, is going to look at Florida's record and go, well, they're having a down year, man. Carolina should be able to go in there. Yeah. Disregard. I mean, big league talent up and down the roster. Big league talent up and down the roster. Like, all it takes is one inning to get these guys clicking, and they could. Here's the thing that stands out with Kentucky. So, like you said, you know, haven't hit the meter of their schedule yet. They've got Bama coming to town this weekend. Then they got to go to Auburn. And quite frankly, you know, at that point in time, I still don't think that they've really hit it. But then Tennessee, South Carolina, Arkansas, Florida, Vanderbilt, that's where we're going to find out. With all that said, John, they scored 37 runs versus the Georgia Bulldogs in their opening series. And then they went to Missouri. And you know as well as anybody, Coach Lake has mentioned this over and over, it sucks to go to Missouri and play baseball. It just sucks. Like, especially in March, play sucks. It's the stadium's a dump. The field sucks. The weather sucks. The fans suck. It's hard to go up there and get up for anything. They still went up there and won 2 of 3. And then they scored 37 runs on the road at Ole Miss this weekend. So they're scoring a boatload of runs, regardless of who the team is on the other side. I mean, 37, you get it. So I do think they are more formidable than maybe we thought when the season began.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely are. Absolutely. I didn't really see this coming from them. They certainly still play their style of ball. As you were describing Missouri's ballpark, I wasn't sure whether you were describing Missouri or Kentucky, though. All those things you said about Missouri can also be said about Kentucky. Aside from the fact that their ballpark sucks, Kentucky's ballpark is awesome, but their fans don't care. It's cold.
Better than the old one. Better than the old one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I still remember the lip behind going from the infield to the outfield was such a drop off. Like, you could lose a small child behind there if, like, they fell off. But no, it's you know, Kentucky's been really impressive, and their profile is basically, you know, what they've always been, or under Mangione at least, in terms of wanting to recruit speed and athleticism and put the ball on the ground and run and steal bases and do all those kind of things. Like, they've hit a couple of home runs. They're not terrible from that standpoint, but, you know, they're leading the SEC, at least in conference games, and in batting average, you know, bunch of doubles, bunch of stolen bases. Like, that's how they beat you. They put together an offensive profile similar to what Vanderbilt likes to do. And, you know, Kentucky's been very successful with it. But, you know, another thing Kentucky's done really well, especially in league play, is pitch. And, you know, we saw that you know, Kentucky swept Georgia. And we saw what Georgia did to Tennessee in terms of putting up runs over the course of those three games. You know, Tennessee won two, but Georgia scored runs. So, you know, for Kentucky to knock off Georgia like they did, have one of the best staff ERAs in the SEC is really impressive so far. So, you know, they've got a lot going towards the end of the season in terms of who they play. You know, they've got Alabama this upcoming weekend, then go to Auburn, and then it really becomes challenging with Tennessee, and then at South Carolina, Arkansas, at Florida, and then Vanderbilt. Like, that's five really good teams right there that you're closing things out with. So I expect Kentucky to be on top of the SEC at the midway point of the conference season, and then we'll see what happens after that. But I doubt they'll finish on top of the East.
Final quick one here for you, with as it pertains strictly to South Carolina. Talk about Cole Messina. He's the leader of this team. There's no question about that. He is riding an 8-game hitting streak right now. And he did have three in that final game against Alabama, which is great to see. This is going back to the 4-hit performance on the road in Greenville against Upstate. He also, during that 8-game hitting streak, has 12 strikeouts, which isn't really that good, but it is a team that strikes out, and he's one of the guys that does often, but he'll bang it around, as we've seen. I felt like for the first time in a couple of years, John, or in a couple of seasons, I should say, early in this series on Thursday and then a little bit on Friday, I personally felt like it's the first time I'd seen him carry some frustrations on the offensive side, even in the middle of this 8-game hitting streak, even though I felt like he was getting a little bit frustrated offensively, and I felt like some of that carried over defensively. Did you feel the same way? Am I reading too much into that? Obviously, he redeemed himself on Saturday, but he's a guy who, you know, as much as he plays, he catches essentially every game, every weekend, that's for sure. They've got to have him even keel. I just felt like maybe there was a little bit of a boil over for him, and quite frankly, I probably don't blame him if there was.
Yeah, and you know, he had a really poor defensive game on Thursday. There's no question about that. Whether it's because he's been, you know, struggling a little bit offensively or pressure or whatever, you know, I'm not sure if that's what it was or not. Only he could really answer that one, and could really, and you know, that's not something you may want to be honest about or not. But you know, he certainly had a really poor defensive game on Thursday. He bounced back a lot better on Friday and Saturday, but you know, some pitches got by him that were difficult, but don't usually get by him. He just didn't seem like himself on Thursday night, whatever the reason was. And then Friday was a little bit better. I was joking with him on Saturday after the game. I said, you know, that home run you hit on Friday was pretty darn towering and pretty darn majestic looking. I said, where does that one rank for you? And he said, probably third, definitely top five, probably third. And but that thing was gorgeous. That looked like one of those left-handed home runs that you just get that pretty swing, and it just has that perfect trajectory. And you know, that was the right-handed version of that. And you know, but Saturday I thought he played really well. And you know, hopefully that one continues forward, because Thursday may have been the roughest game of one of the roughest games of his career, for sure.
Defensively, for sure, yeah. There's no doubt he was not very good. He'd be the first one to tell you that he wasn't very good behind the plate. Everybody always blames pitchers when the ball goes in the dirt. I'm a former catcher. You always blame yourself, and I know Cole's no different than that. On the men's basketball side, any updates on the portal front?
Not a ton. I know that JP Pegues from Furman is obviously the priority target for them. One of the priority targets, I would say 1A right now over everybody else. I mean, they certainly need more than just him. You can't kick back and relax if you get him and say, well, all right, our team's done. But he's certainly probably the most significant. He's he's certainly the most significant piece that they're targeting right now in terms of guys who are in there. Scoring guard, can really pass it, you know, has some assist and will rebound for you a little bit too. But the kid's clutch. He was on campus this past weekend. Trip went well. You know, he's going to take a few more trips before, at least a couple more trips before making a decision. Auburn's really the one to watch the most. There's some connection there between him personally and the coaching staff there. So, you know, I think that's one to really keep an eye on. But, you know, South Carolina's got feels relatively confident right now that they've got a really good shot at him. So he's one to certainly keep an eye on. And, you know, as time goes along, maybe a little bit deeper into this week, we'll have a better sense of some of the other portal guys that they really are looking for.
I like Pegues, fearless guy. People may forget he hit that winning shot against Virginia.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, he's got March Madness magic in him, yeah, no doubt.
If you're looking to replace Michi Johnson, basically, I mean, J.P. Pegues. I mean, very similar guys.
You know, they're going to be hitting up the portal for guards. You know, you got to replace Talon and you got to replace Michi. And, you know, I've been asked several times about KJ Green. South Carolina was in on him for a little while and was at Blythewood and finished his high school career over in Atlanta at Pace Academy and, you know, had South Carolina on his list for a while. But, you know, South Carolina kind of cooled on him and he ended up going to UCF, but now he's opened up his recruitment. But, you know, South Carolina's not going to get back involved there. They've got their sights set on some portal guys. You know, a high school kid is not going to replace a Talon Cooper or a Michi Johnson. And, you know, the guys that South Carolina has on their roster right now from a guard standpoint, you know, can't quite fill those Cooper and Johnson shoes yet either. So they got to go through the portal. So it's not going to be, it's not going to be KJ Green.
John Whittle, he's always got the scoop. More of it coming tonight around 8 o'clock. The VIP will be up on thebigspur.com. If you're a member, this Monday night is your night. So between 8 and 8:30, right, John?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But always shoot for 8. Usually ends up being about 8:15, but you know, I do my best.
That's JC's fault. Absolutely. Though. He's always like getting the stuff to you, right?
I have nothing this week, by the way. I'm just about unless I get something between now and
that's really going to drive subscribers.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Man, guys, I literally have nothing to report to any of you.
Emptied the chamber last week, fellas.
That's right. I got nothing.
Here, to all of you contemplating subscribing to the Big Spur, we'll give you this is my best effort. Between now and about 7 o'clock, we'll get JC to get on the phone with some sources to see if he can just dig up one thing, for this VIP report tonight. How about
one big thing?
I think that's fair. Figure out one thing and shoot it on over.
Yeah. We'll call it one big thing. That's it from JC. Yep.
There we go. There we go. Cool. Great report, John. You guys. Y'all take care.
Thank you.
Thanks,
there you
Will.
Go. This segment is brought to you by Resto Pros of the Midlands. Fire, wind, smoke, hail damage, water damage. Ugh. And that reminds me, I just said it a little while ago. Folks were texting me and I never responded. Jeff Sturgis texted me yesterday and said, Happy Easter. Jeff, if you are watching, I am so sorry. I didn't even see it till a little bit later, but I'll text you back right now during the break. Great Gamecock, great business owner, helps out so many in a time where you really don't want to have to deal with it, even dealing with the insurance companies. That's how good these guys are. Resto Pros of the Midlands, RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. The Golden Tones up next here on ITG.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown, Bulls!
off the screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Brewer. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns the corner. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right. You know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.